Chapter 63. They set up early. Molly and Anthony D'Angelo in jeans and winter coats arrived at 4:30 and began to shop the mall. Molly made several purchases, and Anthony carried her bags and looked bored. They saw no sign of Tony or Brianna Lincoln. Only Jesse and Suitcase Simpson had actually seen the Lincolns. The rest had detailed descriptions, but it's not the same. Outside the mall, Simpson dispersed the other cops, trying to keep all the exits in view. Only Steve Friedman and Buddy Hall were on duty in Paradise. At 6:27, Molly and Anthony came to the food court. They put their bags down and sat at a table. They looked from where they sat at the various food stands, appeared to reach a decision, and Anthony stood up and went to get them some pork fried rice. The food court was nearly filled. Looking at the customers, Molly realized that several of them could be the Lincolns. At 6:48, Molly decided that she couldn't pretend to eat the rice anymore. She had no appetite, and it was clear that neither did Anthony. "I'll get us some coffee," she said. "Cream," Anthony said. "Two sugars." At 6:57, Molly took a cell phone out of her purse and called Simpson outside the mall. "Hello, honey," she said. "Molly?" "Yes. Are you and your brother doing what Nana says?" "Any sign of action?" Simpson said. Anthony DeAngelis looked like a man whose wife spoke often on the phone, glancing aimlessly around the food court. Molly smiled. "No, honey. Daddy and I are having coffee. We'll be home in a little while." "Do you want me to help you with this?" Simpson said. "Pretend I'm your kid?" "Absolutely not," Molly said. "What have you and Nana been doing?" "I'll just sort of hum then, so you know the line's open and I'm still here." "That's very good," Molly said. At 7 o'clock, Jesse, wearing a navy pea jacket over his Kevlar vest, walked down the mall with his hands in the pockets and stood in front of the elevator opposite the entrance to the food court. 7 o'clock, Molly said. On the phone, Suit said, "Jesse there?" "Uh-huh. Anything happening?" "No, honey, not yet." "I kind of like the honey thing. Will you call me honey around the station after this is over?" "No." Behind Jesse, the elevator door opened and a man and woman stood in the door. They were wearing hats and scarves that partially hid their faces. "Jesse," the man said. As Jesse turned toward them, they each raised a long-barreled pistol and shot Jesse in the chest. The pistols made only a flat pop that was lost in the hubbub of the mall. Jesse stepped a half-step back. "It's happening," Molly said into the phone and dropped it and turned with her gun out. DeAngelis was on his feet as well, his handgun leveled. The elevator door closed and the elevator went back up, taking the man and woman with it. People in the food court area were beginning to react. The result was confusion. "There's an escalator at each end," Jesse said, pointing. "Molly, cover that one. Anthony, stay here." Then he turned and ran down the mall, forcing through the crowd with his gun held down against his thigh. When he reached the escalator, he slowed and opened his coat so that as he went up the moving stairs, he could speak into the microphone clipped to his vest. "Suit, you okay, Jesse?" "I am. It went down. We've got them somewhere on the second level now. Shall we come in?" "No. We'll try to chase them to you." "We'll be here." When he saw them, they were wearing black watch caps pulled down over their foreheads and black or navy scarves wrapped up over their chins like they were cold. She had on a fur coat. He was wearing a trench coat. "We'll be looking," Simpson said. "Make sure everybody gets the message," Jesse said, "and they could change, so don't lock in on the coats and scarves. Roger, Jesse." At the top of the escalator, Jesse paused with the gun at his side, looking around. Most people didn't notice the gun. The ones that did looked quickly and moved swiftly away. Jesse made sure his badge, clipped to his vest, was visible. Don't want somebody calling 911 and end up shooting it out with the local SWAT team, he thought. He looked down to the far end of the mall and saw Molly standing at the top of her escalator. On the first level, Anthony stood facing the elevator. His gun was in his hand, held down against his right thigh. The elevator came back down, and the doors opened and several men and women got out. One of them was a good-looking woman wearing a paisley yellow silk scarf over her head and an ankle-length yellow wool coat. She carried a small shopping bag and smiled at Anthony as she headed past him toward the exit. Anthony was pretty sure she wasn't the one. Still, better to play it safe. "Excuse me, ma'am," Anthony said. She turned and took the gun from the shopping bag and shot him in the forehead. As Anthony went down, one of the men from the elevator stepped up and took the woman's arm. He was wearing a leather jacket and a long-billed, low-crowned baseball hat. By the time Anthony hit the floor, the man and woman were walking firmly past him and out the front door of the mall. As they reached the parking lot, several people pushed past them, running toward a Paradise police car. People crowded around the car, all talking at once to Eddie Cox and gesturing toward the mall. The man and woman passed the crowd and got into a rented Volvo and drove quietly away.